Are you ready?
Here we go.
Test 1, 2.
I feel like I'm bouncing from cloud to cloud.
Wow, we're ridiculous.
So stay tuned.
I like what we're doing.
Or don't.
Oh, that might be my favorite thing to ever happen.
Is this not the coolest thing you've ever heard?
Well, how about this?
Yeah, hold up.
It's the Pepper and Dylan After Show Podcast.
Welcome to the After Show Show. Today is May 26, 2021. Thank you so much for joining. Please subscribe, rate, share it with your friends. Tell everyone about it. Would love that.
Okay, so this podcast that we're doing today, this episode, is going to be a little self-involved, but it seems like that's what a lot of people seem to gravitate towards on these After Show shows. So hopefully you can appreciate what we're about to do. We spoke in detail last week, which gave us an idea about part one, part two, and part three of what's called What the Hell Happened. And this was a podcast series. Before there were podcast series, it was almost like a web series, right?
Yeah.
An audio web series of a recap of a lot of the behind-the-scenes personal drama, the personal experiences that started with the formation of our radio show 15 years ago. And ended with, the scary personal things of the suicide attempt and the and then the leaving of Bounce the first time, 91.7, and how we kind of came back to Edmonton after leaving Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very warmly received. And Dylan, you still 10 years later receive people saying, "Hey, where can I find this?"
Yeah,
right? Get a few of that, a few of those too.
And every time, I'll listen to it every couple of years, just because it's one of the few things left on my iTunes now that everything I have is on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few things left on there. So when I get into my car, my iTunes always is the first thing that pops up, and I'll normally just shut it off. It's either Frank Sinatra or What the Hell Happened.
Okay.
But every now and then I'll listen to it again. I'm like, oh my goodness.
U2 hasn't figured out a way to weasel into your iTunes, even though you don't want them there?
Not this time.
All right.
But I just listen to it and I just go, oh my goodness. All the work that went into it is such a great, it's a really, really good I don't even know what you call it. Documentary for audio?
Well,
what the hell is that called? The audiomentary?
The director and the producer of that trilogy, the web series or whatever. Sean is here right now to talk about that and a future project. So what would you call it, Sean? Because it was before podcasting almost, right?
I mean, there was podcasts, but not these serial podcasts that you have now.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? It was, and Dylan, it was originally your idea because you came to me and said, "I'm getting a lot of emails and I don't want to answer all these emails." Dylan hates answering emails.
Typical Dylan.
And I just want, let's just do a podcast and talk about what the hell happened to us. And that literally became the title of the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, originally it was going to be one. And at the time, you said keep it to about 30 minutes. So there was so much material from it that I was like, oh, well, it's going to have to be two. So then I was doing one, I said, well, it's going to be two. But then I got through two and I was like, well, it actually has to be three.
Right.
So if you listen to them, the first one says in the final episode or the part two episode, which will be the final, this happens. But then there's a three.
Right. In the conclusion, coming up in the conclusion, and it's like, wait.
Yeah, the bonus feature. And we'll give, for those that don't know, Sean has been friends with Dylan for, how long have you guys been friends?
Forever. I don't even know how
20,
long.
About 20 years now.
Okay. And Dylan is the godparent of Sean's children. Both children?
Or no, just
the
one.
First one. Just the first one.
Hey, one. You didn't trust me.
No, because you did such a terrible job.
Dylan, yeah. It is true.
I met Sean in 1999, and when he was an intern at a radio station he worked at in Toronto. An intern? Or you were an intern, right? Or
I was the phone op.
You were the phone op. I know. I was.
Yeah, he does that.
I don't do it anymore.
He did that.
I mean, we could do a series on that whole time and why I was the way I was when I worked there. But
I think it will come up.
I've known Sean for a long time, and Sean actually was working behind the scenes more so when this show, the Pepper and Dylan Show, originally started. Sean actually predates Robbie, and we often make fun of the fact that Robbie got the job over Sean, even though I wanted Sean because he was so organized. And you will hear how organized Sean is. But the two of you are going to work on this new project together, correct?
Yeah, I'm totally down, Sean. I mean, you did an amazing job.
Amazing. It's wonderful to listen.
It's incredible.
Sean, I have to ask you this question because I get this question all the time with you, and I honestly can't remember the logistics of it, and you would. But you left your wife after you had the baby, right when she got pregnant, or the moment after you got married, to come live with me and do this work. I can't remember what the one it was.
Well, the baby wasn't born yet.
No, we got engaged, and I was working at your old station in Toronto, and that morning show was getting fired, ironically, and I was texting you one night while you were out with someone named Muffin, and you were like, Yeah. Do you remember Muffin, Dylan?
No, I do not, but I love that there was someone named Muffin.
Is Muffin a boy or is Muffin a girl?
Muffin's a girl.
Or was Dylan just out with a muffin from Costco?
Oh, no.
That's the muffin he'd be out with now.
Okay.
Dylan said, well, you know, you don't really have the skills to really succeed on your own at this point. It was my first job out of school. So he said, why don't you come here and, you know, we can retrain you. And Dylan made all the logistics happen. So, yeah, I went to my fiance at the time and I said, I got to go for a while to do this. She's like, how long? I was like, I'm not sure. It could be a year. And while I was on unemployment, I did like essentially free interning at what was in the Bounce. And got my skills set up. And but, you know, I had some skills as a morning show producer. And at the time, there was a guy before you there with that morning show. And
you can say it. Go ahead and say it.
Oh, good old Kelly and Company.
Yeah. That was the show that preceded us, right?
That was the worst show ever.
No, well, yeah.
sorry, Brad.
That's why we're here, I guess, right? Yeah. But so you worked for Brad, was his name.
Brad, yep.
Yeah.
Because
Dylan wasn't on the air, right? Dylan, you were just behind the scenes producer. This is back 15 years. This is more than, I guess, is 16 years ago now.
Right, okay. Right?
Before we started together.
So, but how cool is it? Because I always try to tell this story to people. And now that, because he literally left your wife for 9 months or whatever it was to go better yourself because you knew you needed to. And then all the opportunities that followed that. It's just a great story of someone who really took a chance. Just like Robbie's story is great, who literally didn't get paid for 8 months.
Yeah, and then continued to not get paid.
Right? Yeah. And then and just kept working and working. And I just, like, nowadays, I love telling these stories to people who just expect to jump into a role somewhere.
But I want to throw a hypothetical out here, Sean, and this is before we get into what's happening here. But had the universe operated different, I think the universe worked out perfectly. And I think I don't even know if you were disappointed that Robbie got the job over you.
Well, no, because Sean, you were, by the time I had gotten there, you were trying to train me so you could leave.
Yeah, I got the job at Flow in Toronto. That's why I left.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
2 weeks into my internship, I think that's when you left, and I was doing that job full on, like full time, and you had gone.
Right. So, but Sean, had you stayed, had you gotten the job, what would have happened to your marriage? Because she had, at the time, you've moved since, but a wonderful job, a very lucrative job at Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, correct?
Yeah. We were looking at jobs for her at the Salary, actually.
Really?
It was a thing. She just didn't want to be away from her family. And it didn't make a lot. We couldn't justify it because you guys were paying nothing and she was making a lot of money in Toronto.
Right.
It didn't make a lot of sense that way. And, you know, the other job from Flo came and she's like, well, it makes a lot more sense for you to come home, or do you not want to be with me? And I was like, no, I want to be with you. And so, yeah, I went back home. But, yeah, I mean, there was a possibility because even later, I was talking to a guy in Calgary that I almost took a job there because we were, you know, my career was stalling all over the place. And it's funny you talk about that time because, Dylan, I pulled that move again, and that's why I'm in North Carolina. Like, my second son was born, and I was like, okay, I'm going down to North Carolina. Tell them to do this thing now. Bye. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, it was unbelievably selfish of me. But it worked out.
Right. It's amazing what partners will do for their love, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's mm-hmm. husband to wife or wife to husband or them to they. But they'll do incredible things when love is that strong, I think. And it worked out perfectly. You not getting this job ultimately because you now have a wonderful family with a son that is scary how much it looks like you. I'm worried that it is you just wearing smaller clothes.
I'm mitosis, Tim.
And for those that really listen closely to the Pepper and Dylan show, we'll also might know that Sean's wife, yes, is the Natalie that hates Dylan, who every birthday we give out her phone number. So that is the connection here. Sean's wife hates Dylan because we give out her phone number to wish her a happy birthday. All it was an olive branch from Dylan to her to say, don't hate me. Please don't hate me. I want everybody to wish you a happy birthday, which has since backfired.
Mm-hmm.
But we continue to do it every year.
Sorry, Natalie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the only reason she hates him.
Okay. No. She hates him. But then Dylan wanted to make it up for. That's how it was all born, because she hated you so much. You wanted the whole city to wish her a happy birthday to show that you have a heart and you're thinking about her.
Yes.
It just, she didn't appreciate her phone ringing all day for happy birthday.
Everyone got really involved.
Why
right?
does she hate Dylan?
Oh, boy.
Do we not need to touch on this? Or? You don't know? It's just been so long for not liking you. Is it because you tried to, like, you guys were very close, your friendship, Sean and
yeah.
you, Dylan,
oh,
when
yeah.
you were together.
You took him away.
Did she feel like she was a third wheel in this friendship?
No, not at all. You know what it was? It's because, and you've all experienced this, when it's just Dylan and myself, or Dylan, myself, and Natalie, or Dylan and you guys, mm-hmm. you get that Dylan. Yeah. But when there's other people in the room and Dylan turns it on, you get Dylan, right?
Right.
And she hates that.
Oh. You don't get that Dylan as much now. I think that's calmed down quite a bit now.
That Dylan doesn't even exist.
I like that Dylan.
Which one?
In small doses. I like that Dylan.
Oh, see, small doses.
Because
the
thing I loved about Dylan, the in the room, the loud and boisterous Dylan.
Well, there's no rooms to be in.
Going, I know, but I don't just mean during pandemic. The thing I loved about it is because I am so quiet and so shy and socially awkward, and I always get, well, this guy's got resting bitch face. He's such an asshole. He doesn't talk to anybody. It's because I have such an anxiety in being in those situations. Mm-hmm. That you were always kind of like the barrier, like you protected me from having to be somebody that I'm not by being somebody that you are, just on hyperspeed.
Yeah, I'll do it for you again anytime you want.
I love when you do that. It's the best thing for me because it helps me be my true self while not feeling the panic that I need to be somebody that I'm not.
Yeah, we really haven't had opportunity to do anything,
no,
honestly. It just feels like I have nothing
like
or anyone to...
I mean, Santa Cinema was kind of the last big event that we had where you could be that way and I could be the quiet.
When I order my Starbucks, though,
yeah,
it's quite loud. Is that right? It's quite above.
Anyhow, so where do we want to start here? We want to quickly go over part 1, 2, and 3 of what the hell happened. They are now, 10 years old, Sean, about?
Yeah, sorry, excuse me. Yeah, about 10 years.
Okay, and go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead. What's the question?
And we're going to re-release them is the plan. Now, we're trying to finalize some details because there's copyrighted music in it, so we may not, in all likelihood, we will not be able to release it in the same fashion we do the normal podcasts because of the copyrighted music that, from what I understand, what Spotify and Apple iTunes will just kick
it
right off.
And that's
off.
Part of what makes them so good is the way you've weaved things in and used the music to set the scene and the mood. It's just, I love it.
So they're amazing because of that.
Looking into, and we will have that information in the coming weeks of the best way to possibly find these.
Now, there have been multiple people from the last podcast that have reached out to me because I gave out my Instagram.
Okay.
And I've just been saying we're talking to lawyers and trying to figure it out. And,
and
the truth is, we will be able to release them somehow. So, sorry, you got to hang tight.
They're coming.
But they're coming.
They're coming. We're just figuring out the best way to do that. The idea being we will re-release because over the summertime we'll have summer holidays, et cetera, et cetera. So we can't give you, a reliable stream of original podcast content. So the idea is we're going to re-release these because there is a high demand for them. We're going to release 1, and then 2, and then 3. And then this is what we're going to do today is talk about 4.
Yeah, and I mean, you said at the beginning, like, it's self-indulgent or whatever, but, like, honestly, I think these are award-winning pieces of audio.
Yep.
And they're just that good, but they never got to be up for an award because there's no such thing as award for how the hell did they get fired?
Yes.
Right? But it's that good.
You know what it was, Dylan? Actually, there was awards at the time. It's because of the copyrighted music. We couldn't put it in there.
Oh, that's right. But we couldn't take it out because, like Robbie said.
Yeah, it helps make the whole thing.
Well, that's also what made it take so long to do. Like, when the program director of your old station said, I want to submit this for an award, can you take the copyrighted music out and submit, like, just generic music? I said, no, that would That would completely defeat everything that I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, plus, they don't really understand.
Hours it would take.
So this one won't have...
That mix.
This one won't
that
have...
That mix. The,
no.
Sorry.
One of you talk.
He's in Carolina. We're in Edmonton.
I understand. The phone works fine.
Sorry, finish your thought. I'm sorry, Sean.
Sorry, that mix was just so complicated. And Dylan and Robbie will understand, like, you know, the way I would mix, I would put just random tracks everywhere. Like, I didn't have a music track and a vocal track. It was just like, hey, this track's free. And I would... So trying to, like, unmix it would have been
it's impossible. Not to mention you'd have to tighten things up. Like, it's a, bosses just don't understand what goes into it. And just because, like, a little tweak could take hours.
Right, okay. Yeah, and I don't understand that either. But so they are going to be posted, however we figure out parts 1, 2, and 3 to repost them, whether it's you have to download them from a website or whatever it might be. They are going to be available as, in their original form. Part 4, we will be mindful of the copyrighted music pitfall, and we will avoid that, and that will come out on our regular podcast platform. Do I have all that right? Am I accurate in all of that?
I believe so.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, good. So, let's get into, we don't know the date yet, because we have to work it out over summer holidays and how long this creative process will be. So, you're the director of this. Robbie, you're going to produce it, is that right? Look at that. Two forces coming together to put together part 4.
Dream team, Sean.
Okay, so what is your vision for part 4? Because we're, number 3 came out 10 years ago, so we've got 10 years to cover. What do you focus on?
Yeah, you know, and this is something I was talking to Dylan about, because that three-part series, which was 90 minutes at the time, was essentially covering 5 years. And over the years, we've said, yeah, we should do a part 4 about this and this and this. And it just keeps coming up. But, you know, I didn't have the time. There wasn't the will to do it or what, you know, the story hadn't played out yet. And so now it's 10 years later. You know, how long is this podcast going to be? You know, I could probably do a couple chapters if I really wanted to.
Yeah, you could do part 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10.
I really don't want to do that, though.
No, I understood.
Right. So I really think we're going to pick it up about a year ago now, because I think things started to unravel for the whole group about a year ago. I mean, and that's just me on the periphery, you know, talking to you guys individually and hearing things. And if I, you know, I was looking back and thinking about it, you know, when the pandemic hit, I think mentally for Pepper, it got real tough. Mentally for Robbie, it got real tough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's still some lingering questions, like, you know, you used to be a foursome and now you're a threesome. Well, why? Mm-hmm. You know, we've had that question come up.
If you
want to
pick it up from somewhere, you could pick it up from the morning Robbie jumped on Pepper's car. Because I think that would be one of the moments where, if you were really to look at it from an outer view, that you could have been like, okay, something's going to happen. But at that point, nothing really was breaking. Nothing really was happening outside of that one moment. But there was a morning when Robbie jumped on Pepper's car and we didn't do the show.
Yeah, you did the first break. Do you have that audio?
I'm sure we could. I don't know.
I remember you did the first break, and because I'm usually working out, so I'm always listening when you guys sign on. And
that was a 5:30 a.m. sign-on break, yeah.
I thought you were joking. I thought Pepper's joke. What? I don't get the joke. I didn't get the joke because you just, like, you cut off.
This is what makes Sean such a good show producer. He's got so much foresight. I believe he messaged me that day. Save that audio.
And did you save it?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Nice. Yeah. He's also messaged me numerous times this audio throughout the time. Yes.
Maybe that was the first time you saw that there was, that I was breaking down, that mm-hmm. I was falling apart, right?
Oh, I think publicly that was the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, going back to part 1, 2, and 3, because I listened to it not that long ago, again, just to get a context of how this new one will come out. And I think it was ahead of its time in a way. And you know what? To blow you up as much as we can, Sean. I think it was ahead of its time in pulling the covers back on mental illness. mm-hmm. and depression and suicide and what that means and how that presents itself. Because now, like, for lack of better terms, it's almost in vogue to talk about and to support mental illness. Like, it's almost like the cool thing to do. Everybody seems so sympathetic to mental illness. And it wasn't that way 10 years ago. It was still a big mystery to a lot of people. It was still very unspoken. And since that podcast, not that part 1, 2, and 3 set the wheels in motion for the world to embrace mental illness, but we were talking openly about mental illness before the world was accepting talking openly about mental illness, mm-hmm. before the world was encouraged to talk open, pardon me, about talk openly about mental illness, right?
And it was, I mean, and that's something we really wanted to do the first time because, you know, from an outsider's point of view, you were on the peahen incident happened. That's where mm-hmm. that's where number one starts, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone thought you got fired because you went and trespassed and got the peahen
and got arrested.
Right? We got a lot of emails from that. Mm-hmm. And after you disappeared, because I owned the PepperandDylanShow.com and the station didn't, they wanted to shut it down. We were able to still communicate with the audience and give them a place to email you. And I forgot how many emails it was. It was like 5,000 emails or 10,000 emails yeah. came in. And Dylan was actually at my house at the time because he was going to go travel to Europe. And he was answering all these emails
yeah.
because they were coming in on my computer.
Yeah.
And so we really wanted to tell the story of, look, we didn't just disappear for a while and wind up on this other station like happens so often in radio. There, you know, this thing almost didn't happen. Like Pepper was almost not here. And, you know, it wasn't just two colleagues. It was really, you know, a little family breaking apart, you know, all, you know, Pepper's personal family breaking apart. You know, you going down to Calgary, trying to make it work down there, figuring out I can't be away from my kids this long. Dylan very much feeling like he's in the middle of what am I doing? Robbie's still on the old station with a new morning show trying, just hating it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And then, you know, you were also warring with Lamia because there was a bit of a whisper campaign against you that you're prima donnas and you're bad and you were being selfish and that's why you left. So it was to answer all of these things so that really at the end of the day, Pepper and Dylan, the Pepper and Dylan show could control the narrative of, no, we're not bad people. We're here because, you know, things didn't work out. We want you to join us. It's still going to be a lot of fun, and we've got the whole gang back together at this point. Although I think I'm trying to remember if Robbie was even there at that.
Robbie was a surprise weeks after.
Because he had a non-compete, right?
Yeah, I had a 3-month non-compete. So by the time the announcement was made, or the time I found out, I had to get the 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just...
So I was stuck at the old station, and they kept me to the very last day because they knew.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah, it was just Dylan, Lamia, and myself that were doing the new show, but we knew Robbie was coming the whole time. We just had to bide our time. And then when he arrived,
one of the episodes, the arrival of Robbie is in one of those episodes, which is great. Yeah. I think, Sean, what also makes it great with what you did and what Pepper's speaking to with mental illness is that your mother, Sean, mm-hmm. and how you grew up. And I mean, your mom used to be, for lack of a better term, the show counselor. I would call her regularly, not for actual counseling sessions, but like as a just someone for advice because she was so good at it.
My mom is a licensed therapist.
Right.
That is her job. And, you know, it works because, I mean, people just naturally tell her things, just like exactly what you're saying. But she also is able to give out sound advice rather than, you know, maybe if it's just a friend with mm-hmm. a shoulder to cry on, she actually, you know, has answers and activities that you can do and exercises to better yourself and, you know, pull yourself out of whatever funk you might be in. So, yeah. So I really wanted to define what was happening. Like, it wasn't just Pepper had lost his mind. Pepper was having a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? What does that look like? It's not what's just depicted in movies. It can manifest itself as not eating. It can manifest itself as physical pain, like not being able to get out of bed. So, you know, to your initial point, Pepper, really wanted to bring to the forefront that these things are happening to people. I mean, this was way before the Let's Talk campaign or whatever that is
mm-hmm.
from that other company, to really say, this is what it can look like. You know, you could, and I played clips from when you were on your other station in Calgary, and you sounded totally fine, right? It was a funny clip. It was, you're trying to get somebody to.
My buddy Andy was, what was he like?
Zip lining. You're trying to get him to zip line. and you had this whole thing going, and the phone cuts out. It's just so perfect where you're like, well, I guess this is not happening. We're not going to be able to tell you about this. And you sounded fine, but then, you know, you went home that night and you cried yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
So I think it opened a lot of people's eyes into, you know, how vulnerable you actually were. And I think that vulnerability made people relate to it in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, good. So you can hear that in 1, 2, and 3 once we get that released in the coming weeks. So, okay. So 4, you think, picks up on jumping on the hood of the car.
I think that's a good place somewhere.
We've covered in previous podcasts, you know, what exactly, you know, in vague detail, what exactly happened when we left Virgin and, you know, why they tried to force us out and drove us crazy and why it was just so toxic of a workplace and us were battling with management and it was just messy, messy, messy. So, you know, we've covered a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then we came here, we knew we'd be coming here almost immediately after leaving Virgin. And then we just had to sit out our little break non-compete period. And then we came aboard and things were great almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We could tell we were given a level of freedom that wavered, that was kind of up and down and up and down. But we, for the most part, we were given a level of freedom that we were always looking for the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the exception of a handful of things, we got most of that.
Yeah.
And so things were great. And we are now here. How long? We've been here longer than any other radio station,
longest,
right?
Longest place we've been.
Well, we've been here 5 years. Is that right?
Over.
Five and a half now.
I think this September will be 6, yeah.
Okay, it'll be 6 years coming up. And everything was totally fine. And then the hood jumping on the car moment was less about a breakdown of the radio show and more about, I guess, what was happening that I finally cracked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you want to pick it up there. And what do you want to tour through from that 5:30 a.m. break where I walked out of the station?
You know what was interesting? So behind the scenes, you know, Robbie stopped you from leaving by jumping on the hood of your car. Like that wasn't a Robbie prank. That was Robbie being genuinely concerned of what the hell is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then the three of you having to sit down with some manager, I don't remember who.
Mm-hmm.
You sat down with the manager and you had to talk it out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The entire show.
Right. You talked it out, you know, until I think I got a call from Dylan at like 11 or 12 o'clock my time, which is 10, 11 your time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think at the time Dylan said, there's these 5 things that are concerning to me that are really wrong. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. You know, Pepper's not right in the head. He's on some self-destructive behavior. I'm concerned about Robbie. I don't know how much longer this is going to last. And I thought, you know, when he said that, I thought, really? Like, you had one bad break. And until you actually dissect what's happening from all the other sides, yeah, you do realize that, you know, this show probably has almost broken up a couple times. And I think that's what's interesting because, you know, on air, there's a consistently good sounding product. You wouldn't know anything that's wrong. And, you know, over the last year, you know, Pepper's started saying, well, he announced, you know, I'm in AA. I'm an alcoholic. I think you even announced it on this podcast first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you announced it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple of weeks went by and you talked about having a few drinks. And I remember listening and thinking, wait, I thought he was in AA. And, you know, we had conversations afterwards where you outlined why AA doesn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from somebody that I personally, thankfully, don't have any addictions. I don't have anybody in my family that has addictions. You know, I thought, well, if you're not going into AA, then you just have to go straight to rehab, right? Like, but there's other options that you could explore. Ultimately, you did end up going into rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You have covered that quite a bit on air and on podcast. But I think what is interesting about that time is how fractured everybody's relationships were. Like at one point, Pepper and Dylan were not talking to each other, and Robbie had to be the go-between for messages.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know how deep I'm allowed to go into, you know, all the truths that came out at that time, but you know, there was a lot of animosity amongst the show. And again, it almost broke up to the point of where, you know, Dylan was looking for other jobs. And I don't know how seriously it was, but I mean, that's how close it came again to, well, maybe, you know, 15 years look enough and let's just go our separate ways. But at the end of the day, and I don't even know the final outcome, because all Dylan has said to me is there's been a resolution about, you know, a month ago. I don't know what that is yet. I have to talk to you guys and, you know, we'll all find that out together.
Hey, isn't that fun? Everyone gets to find out at the same time.
What, do you not have a resolution yet?
Oh, no. Everything's good now.
Okay.
Everything, but, I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that probably nobody knew. When Robbie and I had to work together, when Pepper was away, when Pepper came back, the conversations that happened after that. So, I mean, yeah, it all is going to come down to probably, Pepper, how much you're willing to share. And I mean, you've been open about a ton of things.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that I won't disclose at this point. I mean, Jesus Christ, shit. There it is.
Ding.
Is
everything actually on the table, Pepper, though? Like, am I being given Oprah freedom to ask the questions?
Oprah freedom.
Ooh.
Now, look, the podcasts were good, Sean, but let's not go to the Oprah level. Oprah yet there, Sean.
If this becomes
the number one podcast in the world, well, then we've got some. I can't think of much along the line of what I won't talk about. And I think just going back to the point about how the show, had its broken moments and its broken periods, I think that the reason that it has those and it was able to wade its way through that and navigate through that is because it's more than just colleagues. You know, like it is a tighter bond. It is a friendship, because it's very easy to walk away.
If it was just colleagues,
yeah,
I would have been gone.
Yeah, it is very easy to walk away from something like that. And it was those ties that bind that kept it together during the stormy times. But it's also those ties that bind that made the times so stormy. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a gift and a curse at the same time, that we're so close and we do share everything with one another. And we do know the ins and outs of one another, not just from working 3.5 hours a day in a room this size for 15 years, but through just talking afterwards, talking during, going out together, going on vacations together, et cetera, that it's brought us together. And sometimes it makes those feelings more sensitive when bad times happen. But ultimately, I think it, much like a family or a very close friendship, if it means enough to you, you work through it. And we were able to do it. And I've been processing since, you know, it's funny that yesterday was 6 months that I went, 6 months ago I went away.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Yesterday was the 6 month anniversary of my flight to
6 months sober minus a day.
6 months sober minus a day. Yeah.
Nice work.
And I have learned a lot since then.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was a very tumultuous time when I was away, and it was hard to focus on the rehab phase of things because of everything that was happening back home. And we'll get into this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And since getting back, I've been able to gain more perspective, and not just on myself, right? But on the other thing, I've been able to forgive myself. I've been able to forgive others, because that was just as necessary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that, there's still a lot of learning to do for a lot of people, including myself, on exactly what we experienced, what each other experienced, and what we ourselves were experiencing, not just in that time, but in the years leading up to it. So, yeah, like my story goes back a long way from a personal battle before anybody knew anything.
Far before the hood.
The hood was the first. It was like the first crack in the armor. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, but there was stuff happening that nobody knew about. Literally, nobody knew about.
So this is great.
For years,
we're going to hear this, and we're going to be just as shocked, I guess.
And truth be told, that when I was away is when I finally learned how everything was so connected.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I'm willing. Yeah, I. There are a handful of things that I have yet to share with basically anyone in my life, and I'm probably willing to go that far. I'll go that far. I've got to be mindful of other people.
Sure.
But
well, that's the thing. Like, and I'm hypersensitive that your children are in high school now, right?
Yeah. And that's the one thing is I'm always have to be careful. And my kids have been great. And it's funny that that generation of my children and how supportive. One of my kids' friends is trans. And one of my other kids' friends just announced basically to the world that he's bisexual. And to see how kids that age are... What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
So accepting, so right. supportive, so right. wonderful. And not all kids, but to see that gives me a little bit of, from a personal standpoint, gives me a little bit of confidence that I can open up a lot more and that my children won't be targets of ridicule as much as they would have, you know, in previous generations. So I am more comfortable than you would think, I guess, talking about certain things because I have such an open and honest relationship with my kids.
Hey, Dylan, I just remembered I ironically got drunk one night and wrote the first page of a possible part four. It was right after Pepper had done one of his streams, and I wrote it out to you in a script, in a message. Do you still have that?
I should, yeah.
You save everything, man. No wonder you buy so many page protectors.
I should have it for sure. I would have the script, and I was also have that audio because you made me get all of his audio for it.
Yeah, I was...
Sean was prepping this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like he knew that this was going to be coming.
You just never know.
Okay. So
you just never know, right?
So give us a couple minutes. Lay out what you hope this will sound like when it finally gets produced and released.
You know, I just want it to be, you know, authentic. And, you know, for longtime listeners of the show or even people that listen to the first three podcasts, you know, maybe give an update. Because, you know, last time I tried to say, well, I'm shutting the door on this and we're going off into the sunset. I mean, it was very warm and gooey, the end of part three.
Because we thought it was going to be warm and gooey moving forward.
Well, that's just exactly it. I mean, I remember the day that Dylan called me and said, well, we just got fired. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. What happened there? And that was the first time we were like, well, should we do a part four at this point?
But, you had the foresight to say, not yet.
Just hold keep on. Waiting.
I knew you'd have another mental break eventually, so I was waiting for that.
Sean.
Well, and that, you know what, though? No, but don't kid, because I think that's part of the massive misunderstanding that a lot of people have, family and friends of mine included, my closest, you guys, is that, it wasn't done after, like, now that I've learned how I, like, the ins and outs of it through years and years of therapy and seeing psychologists and medication and all that, like, it's never going to go away.
It's
never going to go away. And learning to manage it is like, it's just living with it every day. And it's so many people think, okay, good. He had his breakdown. Everything seems good now. And so you've got two options. Wait for the other shoe to drop or to bury your head in the sand and think everything's going to be perfect forever, which is completely illogical knowing what we know about it. And it's on me. It's incumbent for me to practice the management skills that I've learned with my emotional states, but it's also really flipping hard to do it. And I think that there is a need for understanding that it doesn't ever end. It doesn't ever end. And as much as people would say to me, well, how do you, I always tell that story about my wife, my ex-wife, Kristen. She's saying every day when I drive home, I don't know if you're going to be dead when I walk in the house.
Yeah.
Right? And that being eye-opening for me to realize what I'm putting other people through. And then sometimes I feel like other people don't know what I'm going through.
Here is
which is the frustration.
Sean wrote, I found it.
Okay.
Deep reverb. Fade in very slow.
Whoa, in depth.
Wow.
I'll be home for Christmas. Pepper monologue. What have I learned? Everyone has their limit and everyone has their line. I've crossed that line, et cetera, et cetera. Mournful. I'll be home for Christmas fades out. Narrator, it's been 10 years since we last talked, since Pepper and Dylan triumphed over terrible struggles, since Robbie and Lamia came together to reform a powerhouse morning show, riding off to finish out the decade together. All was looking up, a new station, a new job, a deep friendship as the backbone of a winning morning formula. But much has changed in the last decade, and old demons have resurfaced to try and take down the show and the relationships that make the show. As they ride out their second decade together, will the show survive? Will the friendship survive?
Whoa.
It's all jokes and laughs until the party is over. In the wake of all that success is devastation and shattered lives. We bring it back to find out yet again what the hell happened to Pepper and Dylan.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Sean, well done, buddy.
I was drunk. You were drunk. But I'll send that back to you so you can use it. I always have your stuff.
So, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at my phone here. And I am going to email Sean what I wrote when I was in therapy that I still haven't sent to you guys.
Oh, okay. This.
And Sean, let me just see if I've got the right one here. Sean.
Don't send it to Sean, someone else.
At me.com. That's the one, right, Sean?
Yeah, you can send it there.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, okay. Now I press this button with great hesitation.
Really?
And I'm just going to, and I will share this with the people that I have shared it with, two people in my life that I never thought I would. And they were remarkably receptive to it. I was terrified to send this. Actually, I haven't just shared it with two people. I shouldn't say that. I shared it when I was in rehab, in group therapy, because there was there's a thing in group therapy. You have to share your life story. And I didn't want to do the thing where, you know, a lot of people, excuse me, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot to me.
All the time.
A lot.
Quite a bit.
I know. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I shared it in group therapy, and I didn't want to just talk openly and tell my quote-unquote life story. And the idea of the life story is just to outline your struggles and your past behaviors and your past experiences to kind of put together how this happened. And so other people can hear it and help you, and other people can hear it and help themselves. And I didn't want to just ramble on like a lot of people do when they're telling their life story. So I wanted to get all my thoughts together. And so I wrote it. You know, I enjoy writing. And I wrote what ended up being the most eye-opening and awakening thing I've ever written and personal experience of my life. And I read it to the guys, very nervous because some of the content is very delicate. And they were all very receptive. Of course, this is a captive audience in rehab, and we're all there for a common goal. And I shared it with a handful of people with the intent to share it with the people that are closest to me. And they were very receptive and very supportive and very understanding. And actually, they kind of knew it all before I said it. And there is content in this that I am embarrassed about. And it's not because I'm embarrassed of my behaviors. Well, I am. I'm embarrassed of my behaviors, but I shouldn't be. And I'm very vulnerable about sharing this because there is a big stigma behind it. And I know I'm being very vague here, but I am going to send it to Sean right now. Okay? And yep. I trust in you to read this, Sean, and reach out to me to see what's on the table with what I'm sending you. I just hit the send button. I can't believe I did that, but there you go. My parents have not seen this. Very few people have seen that.
Robbie has not. I have not. We've
you have
heard
not.
About it.
I have mm-hmm. told you that I want to send it when the timing is right, and I think the timing will be right before Sean starts his cycle of interviews.
Okay.
And I only ask of you guys when you read this, when I send it to you, that you maintain the same level of humor, deprecation, and target me in the way that I have come to love and accept.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So,
what do you mean by that?
Well, you'll know when you read it.
Don't let it change our view of him.
Don't let it. No. I'm saying go ahead and make fun of me for it. Bring it up in the same way you've brought everything up else about me and my different behaviors and my things that you deem to be strange.
With the shoe collections. The rights only.
Have fun at my expense, but understand it is vulnerable what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Sean, I just sent it to you. And
I'm looking for it.
Okay. Well, it takes time. It's going all the way to Carolina.
It's the internet. It doesn't
the
really.
Internet. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It's got to come all the way from the cloud or something. Goodness. I don't know how that works. Anyhow, so that might be some good information for you to begin your research on this, and hopefully you can get some stuff out of that. But it's heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think this will be awesome. Just to like, because I think there are a bunch of things that we probably all don't know sitting in this room right now that will come out in this. And I mean, at the end of the day, all of it will make for good entertainment because it's the behind the scenes of something that you normally wouldn't get the behind the scenes of. Mm-hmm. Like anytime a radio show ever got fired when I was growing up, that was it. They're just gone.
You're always wondering.
You have no idea what happened. You have no idea what was going on the day to day. Then when I first worked in a radio station, I was so shocked to learn that the two people working across from each other actually hated each other.
Hated each other. Mm-hmm. It's so common. Yeah.
I was like, what is happening here? Like, I couldn't even believe that.
How can that be?
Right? And then, so all of a sudden, when you start to see the behind the scenes and see the relationships and the end of the day, right?
Crap on a stick.
I know, it's a little
really?
Long. I'm sorry, it's long.
No, that's...
Oh, you're reading it
wow.
right now.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't have gotten that far. Man, you keep reading, John. If that's your reaction, maybe you should send it back.
Oh, boy.
Is there any way I can recall an email that I sent?
No,
I don't know. No. That's your reaction that early on, Sean?
Yeah, dude. Like, that's pretty intense. Like, no judging. Like, okay, cool. I just never, ever, 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 ever expected that from you.
Wow. Let's not tease this too much.
I would say, Sean, that of all the people you would expect that from, it would be me, isn't it? I don't know, but yeah. Okay.
Well, out of the three of you, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay, so do we have anything else we want to cover? Did we just go in circles here? I don't know if this
I don't think there's anything else to cover right now. I think we got a good idea that it's going to happen. I think Sean's going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie will take it away.
Yep,
and let's hope that it comes back as something that at least people would enjoy listening to. And if you got this far in the podcast and you're not interested in this, let us know before they put in all that work.
Absolutely. Yes, because it will be a ton of work.
Right? Yeah, like 100%. If this is just something that you're like, okay, guys, 100%. We don't need this anymore. Yeah. We've heard it all. I think it's interesting.
Well, that's the thing. Even we can say it so many times, we still get requests to ask why all this stuff happened, right? So there's going to be a demand.
And that's what this format is for, this podcast format, right?
Right.
And to do that here, if you are genuinely interested. In fact, that will be, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That will be the code word.
Oh, it's hard to spell genuine.
For Instagram. No. Excited.
Okay.
Excited.
So if you've made it this far in the After Show, screenshot it, send it and tag at Pepper and Dylan on Instagram with excited, which would indicate to us that you are excited for Sean and Robbie to get to work on part four of What the Hell Happened. And if you're not,
we'll know.
Yeah.
We'll know.
I mean, plain and simple.
It's probably coming anyway.
Sean, feel free to text me if you have any questions about all that stuff. All right?
Sean has a lot of questions.
Boy.
Thanks for your time, Sean.
In fact, this works out even better because I want you guys to be the last to know.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want you to hear it from other people and have no idea what's in it.
Yeah. Sean, say hi to my godson. And
why don't you?
Let him know this. Yeah. I've seen my nephew 3 times in life. And
so nothing personal.
So, and I've seen my godson 2x. So, I mean, almost even.
How old is Evan now?
He's turning 10 this year.
10 years old,
Holy
Dylan?
Holy smokes,
your
I know. Okay,
10.
Bye, Sean. Say hi to Natalie.
Thanks, Sean.
Talk soon, right. Sean. Bye.
Talk to you soon. See you later. Okay. Yep. Oh, I just got him off a little bit there. Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Perfect.
That's quite the tease.
Okay. Are you intimidated by the amount of work that this is going to be, Robbie? We don't want to put too much on you here.
I mean, no, it's doable.
Easy because it's interviews. It's just answering all of Sean's questions.
A lot of the work is the writing,
okay,
the hosting, coming up with the content. That's what Sean is really good at.
Right.
I'll just supplement his and produce what I can.
You're the technical guy. He's the creative guy. You and I are the interview subjects along with other people in our lives. I know that Sean said he'd
love
to get a hold of my ex-wife and do a bunch of those conversations. So
right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Off we go.
Indeed.
So again, tag us at Pepper and Dylan on Instagram. Take a screenshot of you listening to this podcast wherever you do that, and use the word excited in your post, and we'll know that we're headed in the right direction as we head into the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the After Show.
The Pepper and Dylan Show, weekday mornings on KISS 91.7.